So in this episode today, we're talking to Mary Laverty. She's the early years team leader. Let's jump into it right now.
Welcome to the Marymount Paris podcast, where you can find out more about the school. Each episode, we'll be speaking to people in the school community to let you, the listener, discover what life is really like at Marymount. But enough of this intro. Let's get into this episode right now.
Mary, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Simon. I'm very well, thank you.
Well, it's great to talk to you. It's great to connect. And of course, it's a beautiful day today. How's it all looking there?
Well, here at Marymount, the sun is shining. I'm looking out the window here. I see blue skies and the sun is shining. So I'm very happy. That's why I have my sunglasses on.
Very good. Very, very good. It makes all the difference, doesn't it, when the sun's shining and the weather's good. And I imagine that when parents are dropping their children off, it probably changes the mood that everybody's in as well.
Exactly. That's what we have been talking about over the last few days. We had a lot of rain, but just in the last few days, the sun's out and everyone is talking about how it just lifts your mood. You know, you just feel that bit more brighter in yourself. You have more of a spring in your step.
Yeah. Now, Mary, your early years team leader. What exactly does that mean then?
So here at Marymount, at the early years department, we range from early learners one right the way up to kindergarten. We have early learners one, which is the two-year-olds, early learners two, which is three turning four, early learners three, the children are four, and then by the end they'll be turning five, and then kindergarten, they start at five and then by the end, six.
Okay, so it's children up to the age of six, did you say, sorry?
Yeah, we start at two and then we go all the way right up to six. So that's the age range in early years.
Gosh, that sounds to me like a lot of hard work going on there, not just with you, but with everyone who's involved in those children.
Oh, yes, it's never a dull moment. So I'll just give you a little insight into how the early years work. So really, the Early Learners Programme, where we look at what the principles of early learning and development are, and it's divided into three groups. So the first group is children and their lives in early childhood. So what that means is, you know, embracing the uniqueness of each child, embracing equality and diversity, and just how you view children as well. So seeing children as citizens. The next group is children and their connections to one another. So that's very much about the relationships. And that's the relationships between the children and each other, the children and the adults in the environment with them, and also the relationship with the families as well. So it's very much the three working together, the child, the educators, and the parents working together. And then the third group is how children best learn and develop. And that's our approach is it's a holistic learning and development. It's active learning. It's very much play and hands-on experiences. It's about communication and language, the learning environment itself, and the outdoor environment very much plays a role.
I love the way you talk about that almost like a three-point triangle with the pupil, with the parent, with the educator, with the staff in the school. I mean, clearly a triangle is always known to be a very strong kind of structure, isn't it? And I imagine that's the same in this kind of environment. Tell me a little bit more about the importance of the parent being involved in that.
Yes, it's very much key. You know, it's something that I always say, it takes everyone working together and everyone benefits from it. You know, the child benefits greatly when everyone's on the same page. Equally, you know, the educators benefit from it and, you know, the parents as well. And really, we're very blessed that we're entrusted with the care and education of the children. But I always say that, you know, it starts in the home and we really value, you know, what takes place in the home. The parents are the ones that know their children best. So it's very much having that open lines of communication. You know, it's important. And, you know, we welcome parents. You know, we welcome them in the classrooms. We want them to, you know, even the day-to-day contact that we have. So when the parents are dropping, you know, their children to school, you know, it starts, you know, the moment that they arrive onto the campus. You know, you have that few minutes where you talk to the parents. They might have something to tell you that you need to know for that day that will help you. And so it's very much, we valued, you know, it's when you have the three working together, the child, the educators and the parents, I think that's really where, you know, the magic happens when you have everyone working together.
I love some of the words that you're using here, Mary, some of the language that you've got coming through, talking about being blessed and the magic here and various things like this. It really does strike me that this isn't just a job that you're doing. This really is a passion for you, isn't it?
You know, I would say that I'm a passionate about early years. Do you know, that's all my experiences, and specifically in early years. And, you know, it's an area that I love. And I think to something I often say is that when you find something to do in life that you're passionate about, you know, the way they say that you'll never work a day in your life. Now, that's not to say that it's a walk in the park, but, you know, what job is a walk in the park? But it's something that fulfills me. You know, I find I'm all the time, you know, trying to do better. I always recommend that people reflect. You know, I think reflection when you're working in education is a big thing, that you reflect over the day, reflect over your decisions that you've made. And, you know, it's something that I share a lot, you know, with people, you know, that I don't always get it right. Do you know, and I think the day that you think you know everything, or you know, I think that's I think that's when you really have to look, you know, at yourself, because with education, things are always changing. You know, I've changed drastically from when I first started teaching. Do you know, I was a completely different educator then, because the time was different too, do you know? Whereas now everything you read, when you do ongoing, you know, professional development, you know, you see that things are changing, and, you know, you have to change as well.
How did you get into working in education in the first place, Mary?
It's funny, I started out where I wanted to be a nurse first, and that's all I ever talked about. I want to be a nurse. I think it kind of linked from my uncle had motor neuron, and I remember, as, you know, an 8-year-old going in to visit him in the hospital, and I then started to befriend, you know, the other patients. But I think when I look back now, it was the caring aspect that was drawing me to that profession. But eventually, you know, I started doing work experience in a primary school back in Ireland. And I was in the early years classroom. It was the junior infants classroom, which would be 4-year-olds. And I just remember I loved it. I remember the feeling. And then eventually I went down that road. I started off as a Montessori teacher. And I was working in that for years. I loved it, passionate about it, and, you know, was doing ongoing courses. And then I went back to college and I did a degree in early childhood education. And that's really where I got my eyes opened. I saw a completely different approach, a way of educating children. And, you know, again, I was blessed. I was placed in a play-based setting. That's where I did my work experience. And this was new to me, because Montessori, just slightly different than, you know, a purely play-based program. And I remember at my first day, not really knowing what to make of it, because it was just so drastically different than what I had been used to before. And, you know, thankfully I stuck with it. And, you know, it's amazing. Like my eyes really were opened. I learned a different approach. I learned all about, you know, really child-led education. Before, it would have been more purely, you know, adult-led. And, you know, so I learned all about that. We looked at even looking at what is your, you know, looking at the child, what is your image of the child. And, you know, then I started on my journey of play-based learning. And, you know, so today I would consider myself, you know, a passionate play-based educator. And again, you know, when you hear the word play, that can be confusing, you know, to people. It's like, well, what is play? And, you know, I would say that it's how, you know, children learn best. And, you know, even according to the United Nations on the rights of the child, that, you know, every child has a right to play. And it's really how, you know, children make sense of the world, You know, it engages, it motivates, it challenges, you know, it pleases. And really, you know, with early years children, you know, play, it's central to their well-being and learning.
And of course, I remember reading somewhere in school about Albert Einstein's quote. What is it? Play is the highest form of research. Is that right?
Play is the highest form of research, you know, and that came from Albert Einstein.
Yeah, I mean, if he said it, then it's got to be a true thing for sure.
And I have another quote too that I like. Childhood is not a race to see how quickly a child can read, write and count. Childhood is a small window of time to learn and develop at the pace which is right for each individual child. That's something we talk about a lot, you know, in early years, because it's such child development. It's, you know, it's complex. And, you know, here at Marymount, we take a holistic view and, you know, we highlight the importance of children's emotional, cognitive, physical, social and creative skills. And, you know, every child is different, you know, they're unique, just like every adult is different. And with early years children, you know, because there's that broad range, you know, everyone is at a different stage of maturity and, you know, development. And you have to, as the educator, take that into consideration. And when you look at your students, you have to really, you know, you have to know where everyone's at and you have to meet them where they're at. You know, you can't expect a child to do something that they're not ready for. We observe the children and we meet them where they're at.
It makes perfect sense. That really does. But I'd love to jump back to the child-led versus adult-led, because I'm just thinking to myself that some people listening to this right now, they might be thinking to themselves, well, I understand what Mary's saying, but equally they might be thinking to themselves, well, we do need to tell the children what to do because maybe that's the way that they learned when they were younger. How do you get that balance right between addressing any kind of parent concerns regarding that and actually letting the child lead their own education as well?
Yes, you're right, Simon. It really is a balance. I think too, it even goes back to looking at even how you as the educator was raised and how you were educated, because sometimes that can influence, do you know, and I think you really have to, you know, scrape that away and not be clouded by how you were brought up and how you were educated, because that may not have been a good experience, you know, for everyone. And, you know, I can understand that people would be confused about child-led versus adult-led. You know, child-led doesn't mean it's just a free-for-all that, you know, the children just get to run amok in the class. You know, it's not like that at all. It's, you know, very much child-led is guided and supported by the adults. I think the difference is it's not controlled. You can have, you know, a controlled classroom and it could be controlled for, you know, the benefit of the educator. You know, again, it comes down to each individual person. It even comes down to, you know, are you suitable to work with that, you know, age group? And child-led really means including the children in the learning, asking for their ideas, their opinions. You know, there was a time that I educated, and let's say, for example, I was doing creative work and it was everything that I thought they should be doing. You know, I didn't consult the children. This was when I started out, but that was acceptable at the time. Whereas now I very much include the children in the planning process. You know, it's like they help create, you know, the planning and the curriculum. And it's through their ideas, opinions, their interests. So that's why it's very important to observe the children. Do you know, I remember when I did the degree in early childhood education, I really did get my eyes opened. And I remember the tutors, I remember they were passionate about early years. And I remember being, I was on my work experience and the tutor came out to observe me. And then when we went back to the classroom, the one thing that she pointed out, she said, please remember, you don't always have to be the one doing the talking. You know, listen to what the children have to say. And I think sometimes we don't always realize, you know, just how intelligent children are. Do you know, and that goes from babies to just thinking at Marymount here, from our EL1 class right up to kindergarten. They're very, very intelligent. And the only way that you will hear or get to know what they know is when you listen to them. Do you know, sometimes even you can decide and have this plan that you're going to teach them X, Y, and Z. They might even know it already. So that's what we try to do. Do you know, we try to, you know, find out what the children know first, and then we can build on that. And the same with the interests. It's amazing. I always tell the children, you have much better ideas than me. Please tell me your ideas. And once we see what they're interested in, then we will do learning around that. We will research. We will do an inquiry. We try and do inquiry-based learning and interest-based learning. And, you know, it's amazing the places that children will take you. And in the process, and it's something I tell my students too, I learn in the process through their interests. And I think it's good too to be able to tell the students that you don't know everything. But what we can do is we can learn together.
Mary, I love the way that you're putting all of this. And I also love the way that clearly you are open to change yourself. Mm-hmm. That
Very much so.
Don't have any, I mean, no. It strikes me, you have a level of zero arrogance, if I'm able to say that. Because it's like you're exploring new ways of learning yourself, that you can be a better teacher and a better lead in school for the sake of the children.
No, thank you, Simon. Yes, I think I've just been lucky. I've been blessed with the people, you know, that have helped me along the way. And I think life experience as well, you know, things in your own life, and you get to see, there was a time now I did think I knew everything. Do you know, when I look back to how I started out and how I am today, and I think too, it's a great freedom when you can say, I don't know everything. Do you know, and I always say, I think too, for new people coming in as well, it's good to hear people that they might think, oh, they've been working a long time, they must know everything. No, I think I don't. I find I'm learning every day. And I really do try and reflect, you know, every day. And I can see times when maybe I got it wrong, or maybe I could have handled it a different way. You know, and it's all about trying to be better, to do better. And I think, too, it's also instilling that in children, too. And I think it's great when you can do it at a young age, because that will stand to them in life. Like, I wish I had that when I was their age, that I was able to learn life lessons at a young age. So I'm forever telling the children, it's okay to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. That's how you learn. It's the best way, actually. Sometimes when you make a mistake, you know, maybe you have to make it a few times before you learn.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Mary, tell me some of the typical questions that parents ask you before they decide to send their child to Marymount Paris.
They want to know really, you know, the programme, maybe a little bit more about play. They often ask actually about outdoor play as well. So we have a beautiful campus here. We're actually trying to, you know, we very much value outdoor play, outdoor exploration, and because of the beautiful setting here, we've got many different areas for the children to play. But we're trying to, you know, we essentially have material that we have in the classroom outside, you know, so sometimes there can be the idea that an old idea of, oh, you can only learn in the classroom sitting at a desk. But no, we very much, you know, value outdoor exploration. We want to get the children out as much as we can. And, you know, just the benefits alone, you know, even for yourself as the educator, you know, being outside, you just feel different. I suppose other questions that might come up too, or things that I would really speak to parents about as well, is the importance of, you know, setting boundaries as well.
Oh, go on. Tell me more about that.
That's something that we do right from the beginning of the year. And it's just important for children. And children, you know, it's healthy for children, you know, to have boundaries, and, you know, they benefit, you know, greatly from it. And again, it's just, you know, setting a routine and sticking to that routine. It's important for children. You know, they feel safe when you have a consistent routine. And when the adults are consistent as well. So child needs to know what the boundaries are with with an adult. And again, that takes time. It's something I actually always say, it's a difficult thing. Do you know, again, I can look back, it was completely different. You know, I remember struggling to set boundaries with children because I didn't want to, you know, I was afraid in case, you know, how they would kind of react, or I didn't really know how to set boundaries. And again, it took time. You know, I remember this was now way back when I started, and I remember the children would do nothing I asked them to do. Do you know, they'd go off running. And it was because I didn't set boundaries with them. They didn't see any change in me. Do you know, my tone of voice didn't change. I was, you know, and then eventually when my back was against the wall, I realized, okay, I need to work on this. And it was something as simple as, you know, just getting down to their level, you know, changing the tone of my voice, changing my facial expression. And, you know, I remember the first time I did it, and there was somebody else in the room and they said, good, you needed to do that. And so today, again, because of that experience, because I learned, you know, the difficulty when you don't set boundaries, I'm able to share that today, and I will share it with colleagues. I will share it with parents as well. You know, just that it's healthy for children. You know, they really do feel safe when you set, as I said, that a consistent, you know, routine and, you know, firm boundaries in place.
Mary, how long have you been at Marymount Paris for?
I've been at Marymount now. This is my 7th year, which, you know, I can't believe. In many ways, I feel that it's been much longer, and I mean that in a good way. Do you know, I think I feel like I'm part of the furniture at this stage. But yeah, I just, you know, it's funny. I never intended on staying in Paris this long, but it's really Marymount that's keeping me here. There's just something about this school, it draws you in, and you just don't want to leave. Do you know, I still remember the first time that I walked onto the campus. Do you know, I was coming for an interview, and first off, I was just looking around in amazement. Do you know, because it's just stunning, the campus, beautiful. And I remember just looking around, and I remember vividly the interview, and, you know, just like today, it was like a conversation. It didn't even feel like an interview. And, you know, really, it's the first time after an interview, I remember thinking, oh, I want to work here. I really, really want to work in this school. And yeah, thankfully, you know, I got the job, and here I am 7 years later, and I just love it here. There's just something magical about this school. You know, I feel at home here, you know, and I've worked in other places, but there's just something different here. I feel at home.
And you mentioned earlier about coming from Ireland. It's a beautiful accent coming through, by the way. What part of Ireland are you from?
I live near Dublin, just outside Dublin. It's County Louth. It's the smallest county in Ireland. It's known as the wee county.
Okay, I didn't know that. Mary, last question. If anyone's been listening to anything here and maybe they've got any follow-up questions, they want to find out a little bit more about early years at school, how could they do that? How could they get in touch with you?
You can email the school, or you could we could add my email to maybe this podcast episode, and if people have any questions, I'd be more than happy to speak to them.
Okay, well, we'll put a link to your email address in the show notes for this episode, but in the meantime, we're going to need to bring this to a close. I'm keeping an eye on time here. Mary, it's been amazing talking to you. It's been fantastic hearing all about early years at Marymount Paris. Thank you for your time, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Simon. Lovely to speak to you.
That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions at all, then do please get in touch with the school by visiting the website www.marymount.fr. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.